Well, let's open with some words of scripture that Paul has written for us in Ephesians chapter 2. And he says, throughout the coming ages, we will be the visible display of the infinite, limitless riches of God's grace and kindness, which was showered upon us in Jesus Christ. For it was only through this wonderful grace that we believed in him. Nothing we did could ever earn his salvation, for it was the gracious gift from God that brought us to Christ. So no one will ever be able to boast, for salvation is never a reward for good works or human striving. We have become God's poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given each of us.
Amen.
So we have been created for good works. We are his poetry, and that works for us as we come into these passages this morning. So let me pray for us, and then let's dive into this message. Father, we're so grateful that these words are true, eternally true. We have become your poetry, a recreated people. That's astonishing. But we thank you for truth. We thank you for words that can set our hearts at ease in your presence because of your great promises to us that you would bring us your salvation. So thank you for all that you have done and are doing in us and through us. We thank you for those who are doing other things today and celebrating and visiting. So we bless you for your goodness to each one. And we thank you for this time that we get to share as a small group here this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen.
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 So, as we make our way back from across the pond, we're kind of thinking, gosh, it takes a while to reorient and figure out where you are. And I think Sue says she's still dreaming England,
Yeah.
So it hasn't quite faded away in that sense. And I think we've mentioned to you that our first week in Oxford was the heat wave in England, and it was at least 95 every day that week.
Okay.
And we're used to 95 degrees. We just enjoy it with air conditioning.
Yes.
When you don't have air conditioning, it gets really steamy inside. And but God was good. It was a sweet time. And then our final 10 days were amazing, beautiful sunshine in the 80s,
Yeah.
just no rain, really, really beautiful. And so we're grateful and probably a little tired, but grateful for this time away. So thanks for all your prayers for us in that time and spending an hour on the in the aisle of an airplane with a whole bunch of people doing whatever they were doing while I was resting. Yeah, it's not what I was planning to do, but we don't always plan these things.
Yeah.
And just it was a great opportunity as well to experience, as I was more conscious later, just recognizing how God was good and provided people who had the training and doctors and nurses and all kinds of people there doing these things after they wrestled me out of my seat and got me on the ground.
Oh.
It was an exciting time.
Yeah.
Not so exciting for Sue, my guess is, but I was kind of out for it. I didn't really even know. So I just was reflecting on this, and so these verses came this week as I was pondering this and giving this message this morning, forming and guiding hands. And so that are what is true for us in our lives. And so this passage out of Genesis to begin, very familiar verses. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image to be like us." Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. From the dust of the ground, earth, dirt, clay. Imagine God like a master potter, using his most exquisite skill, forming in his own image the first ever human being. All of us then are intricately shaped by the hands of God, having chosen to be reflections of his image. It's an unspeakable privilege and responsibility for us to live in such a way as to not mar that divine imprint, that divine image. So it's just a beautiful passage, and we've heard Amelia talking about God recognizing and saying, "You are beautiful dirt, because I chose you." And so I wanted to look at these, several of these passages, all of which are very familiar to us, but just this idea that we've been formed and we are being guided by God's hands. Yeah. I mentioned in my note yesterday that it's easy to think of our lives as a fixed thing, as a done deal, there's nothing really changing, nothing really moving along. And yet, what is most true is that, you know, change is the only constant. And so through the seasons of life, when we come to a lesson that we have to learn, that lesson usually makes a change. It usually shapes us. As if we've listened to it and we've learned from it, it changes us. It moves us to another level of understanding. So in the Old Testament, in Jeremiah, Prophet Jeremiah chapter 18, these first four verses, the Lord gave another message to Jeremiah. He said, "Go down to the potter's shop, and I will speak to you there." So I did as he told me and found the potter working on his wheel. But the jar he was making did not turn out as he had hoped, so he crushed it into a lump of clay again and started over. Just this very familiar passage. We've heard it so many times. So the potter, when the clay doesn't work the way he's hoping to, he can't really get it to obey the wheel and his hands, the pressure of his hands, crushes it down and restarts. He starts again with this same piece of clay. And many of you know Sue and I really like pottery, and we go to potteries, and we have watched lots of potters do crazy, wonderful things. They start with that lump of clay, and before you know it, it's shaped in ways that, well, many other people could probably do, but I certainly could not. It would go flying off the wheel, probably. But to see them, and they're not even, when it doesn't work for them, it doesn't even bother them to crush it down and get started up and building that, whatever it is that they're trying to build, they build it back up again. And so I love these verses. And so the blanket number one is not discarded, but reshaped. And so as I think back at my life, I realize, wow, so many times you would have thought God would have just discarded you. But no, it's just been reshaped in ways that I would not have expected. I would not necessarily have chosen. It's only after the fact I realized, oh, that reshaping was for the good. It was better than what I would have chosen for myself. And maybe Everyone else chooses wisely every time, but I make some crazy mistakes and crazy choices. And then God says, okay, just thus far, no further. And so now I need to reshape. I need to push that back down, what was being shaped, and create again. And so what a wonderful thing that we have been formed and are being guided by God's hands. Not just formed once and left alone, but formed and guided and reformed and re-guided, etc. So that's exciting to me that God gives this message. Now, the message he has for Jeremiah in chapter 18 obviously was upcoming punishment for their disability to hear him, their unforgiveness, their desire to choose their own way. And so it was a rather harsh word, but the message he gave to Jeremiah there in verses 5 and 6, you know, Israel, can I not do to you as the potter did with the clay? And the clay is in the potter's hands, and you are in my hand. So I can do the same as this potter, because you're in my hands. I formed you, I created you. And I want to make sure that you are moving in the proper direction. And so it's really good that even when we are disobedient, even when we've done the dumbest things, we've really made a mess of things, he doesn't just take us and toss us away. He reshapes. And sometimes reshaping doesn't feel good. You know, being all squished back down just to a lump and then start again is not always pleasant. But then to see what God does within that reshaping is really a beautiful thing, and encouraging, strengthening even. Then in Psalm 40, again, all these verses are just so familiar, but I think it's good for us to look at them this morning. So Psalm 40, the first couple of verses, David says, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire, and he set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. You know, what really struck me in verse 2, he lifted me out of the mud and mire.
Yeah.
What was David made from? Dirt, mud. It just hit me. It's like, you know what? Sometimes we have to be lifted out of ourselves.
Yeah.
Because when things are really bad, when things are really like going against us, not what we want, it's really easy to have a pity party. It's really easy to just look at me, look inward at me and say, oh, poor me. Look what's going on. Look how sick I am. Look how difficult these circumstances are. Look at these relationships and whatever. And here he says, he lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. And so it just hit me. It's like, oh, that's where we start, isn't it? Out of mud, out of the dirt on the ground, all of us. And he lifts us out of that, out of ourselves, so that we can see other ways. And isn't it wonderful? Sometimes others do that for us as well. When we can't see anything else other than the difficulty, the problem, the pain, the disappointment, the discouragement. And someone comes along and helps us to see differently, to see in light of eternity, you know, how bad is this really? And so even friends can be used by God to bring this acknowledgement that God is still in charge. He knows and he sees where we are, and he can bring restoration to us. So the blanket number two from this is not left to wallow in ourselves, but rescued. But rescued. God rescues us. And if we think about our lives, how many times has God rescued us from situations we put ourselves in and situations that come against us? God rescues us. He's in the rescue business. So not just wallowing in ourselves, poor me, but he rescues us. And then he says, then he set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along.
Amen.
That's so important for us to recognize he's always watching. He's always paying attention. He's always guiding us by his hand. And there's so many scriptures that talk about that. Psalm 23 comes to mind, obviously.
Yeah.
And then in Isaiah 64, verses 5 through 8, Isaiah 64, 5 through 8, Isaiah says, "You welcome those who gladly do good, who follow godly ways, but you've been very angry with us, for we are not godly. We are constant sinners. How can people like us be saved? We are all infected and impure with sin. When we display our righteous deeds, they are nothing but filthy rags. Like autumn leaves, we wither and fall. And our sins sweep us away like the wind. No one calls on your name or pleads with you for mercy. Therefore, you have turned away from us and turned us over to our sins. And yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all formed by your hand." So beautiful. Isaiah is able to say, yes, we acknowledge we've been sinful. Yes, we've turned away from you. Yes, we've been unfaithful. Yes, we've done all these things. And on top of that, in the midst of our sinfulness, we don't even come to you. We don't even pray. We don't even come asking for mercy. And then he's able to say, with the confidence he has in who God is, And yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We're the clay, you're the potter. We are all formed by your hand. So even in this terrible situation where the people of Israel have gone astray, been led away by idols and false religions into some really horrible circumstances and practices, Isaiah is able to say, but you're our dad. You've created us. You've formed us. We're just clay in your hands to be shaped and molded and guided. What beautiful confidence after saying these terrible things to be willing to confess, yes, we're a sinful people and we have always done horrible things. We're infected and impure with sin. Our righteous deeds are nothing but filthy rags. I mean, he acknowledges and he puts it all out there and says, yes, I know, I know, I know. Yes, I know. Yet, you are our Father. Such a beautiful reminder to God and a reminder to himself that there is this relationship. So the number three, the blank is not disowned, but our relationship recalls. It's almost like Isaiah had to remind God, you know what? You're our Father. You formed us. You guide us. We're just clay. We're just clay. Such beautiful reminder. The relationship is recalled. Isaiah puts it right there and says, So what are you going to do with us? I mean, you've created us. You're the one who formed us. You're the one with the guiding hands. And so it's a plea. Please continue to act toward us, even in our stubbornness and our willfulness. Please remember our relationship. Call us into relationship again. And then in the New Testament, all the way over into 2 Corinthians chapter 4, again, very familiar passage, verses 6 and 7. God, who said, "Let there be light in the darkness," has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. So Paul is recognizing also, we're just like clay jars. We're just formed, but these clay jars are not shiny. They don't reflect light under normal circumstances. But God has placed the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in us. And so we reflect that glory, fully aware that we are not the light. And so the blanket number 4, obviously, not the light, but reflections of the light. This is why I mentioned up in the note there, what a privilege and responsibility it is for us to live in such a way as to not mar that divine imprint. Because the light is there. And how many of us have been disappointed by someone who calls on the name of Jesus and yet lives in such a way as to mar that image,
right,
to destroy a person's weak faith, even because they've seen someone with God's imprint, and then they see what they do or what they say. And so it's our privilege and a responsibility, but it's a privilege to live in a way to honor God's image that he's placed in us. And of course, when we think of that, you know, we think of each one of us being formed in God's image. Isn't it interesting? No two people look alike. Wherever we go, there are distinctives. We recognize people as they come. We have similarities, but those similarities still reflect individual character and people. We recognize people when we see them. So we've been created and formed, and we're being guided by these hands that are always watching us, always seeing us, never alone. So as I thought about it, I'm just thinking, okay, God is always watching. He doesn't slumber. He doesn't sleep. Always watches. He's always caring for his children. There's not even a sparrow that falls to the ground that God doesn't see. And so how much more valuable are we? And so if that's true, then wherever we are, whatever our circumstances are today, the total of our circumstances, God sees it all, and he's right there. And it's part of the molding process. It's part of the guiding, keeping us on track. It's so easy when we're doing really well and nothing seems to be going wrong to say, Yes, these are signs of God's blessing. But sickness, financial hardship, difficulties in relationship, and some people actually say all of those things, all those negative things, are signs that you just don't have faith, which, of course, we've mentioned before, is enough to make us all scream, because that's not true. That's not scripture.
Right.
But even in those circumstances, God is right there, and he knows, and he sees. We don't understand. And like that song says, I don't know what you're doing, but I know what you've done. And he is a good God who doesn't change. Mm-hmm. And so we can trust him. We can rest in that. And so whatever our circumstances are, good or bad, God is there. He sees, and he guides us. He loves us in an intimate way. He never leaves us. You know, he's not the deist God that just sets the world in motion and leaves it to do its own thing. He's the potter. We're the clay. He does such a good job of molding us in his image.
Amen.
Let's pray this morning, and then I'm sure there may be other passages of scripture that have popped up in the process here. So Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the fact that you never change. There's not darkness in you. There's not even a shadow of turning, scripture says. You are always the one who sees us, who loves us, who cares, who brings his guiding hand to help us when we're lost. So we bless you this morning for the work you do, the fact that you always see us, not in judgment, because for us there is now no judgment because Jesus has taken the punishment, but you see us to help us, to speak to us, to bring guidance, to encourage. What a privilege it is to be yours. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.